Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Let's thank him for his word. Will you do that? Let's raise our hands and thank our God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for the truth of your word, for the glory of your word, for the majesty of your word. Bless this people as we break the bread of life. Let it be used by your precious hands to impart life and strength to your church, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, all the people said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. I've been fascinated by this verse of Scripture for the last few months. It has become very meaningful to me. One of the reasons why I have been fascinated by it is that we live in the kind of a generation that really needs the power of the Holy Ghost to penetrate some of this wickedness that is coming on this earth. And I don't know if you are aware, as you or I should be, about what's taking place. We as a Pentecostal people are somewhat sheltered. Our way of living, our way of worshiping, our way of preaching keeps us from a whole lot of some of the very serious sins of our times. However, in spite of it, the world has a way of working into the areas of men's lives and again touching them with some of the seriousness of this sin. But we need the power and presence of God to crack some of the infested immorality, drug using, and alcoholism that is burdening this generation. And when I say that, I'm very happy to stand before you tonight and say we have that very thing in the power of the gospel. I don't think we understand, and I say that not in condemning you or any of us for ignorance, but I think we, by our own inability to understand God's great ability to work, have really touched the center of what the power of the gospel really means. Now, that word power that's used there in the book of Romans 1 is the same word that is used in the book of Luke, where it tells us, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that word power in the Latin is dunamis. And you know that means dynamite, but it has something else attached to it. It's not only dynamic, but it actually means that there is no inability with God's power, that when he takes a man and uses him, he can make him able. Now, this is what the word is trying to say. The word power actually means he can take unable people and use them for his glory. This is very important to us, because you have to consider our heritage. We Pentecostals are not the work of some man's hand. The Pentecostal movement today is the work of God. God has wrought a marvelous work in the earth, and he has brought into being a great church. And that church is a part of that great message that he gave to us on the day of Pentecost. You cannot call anyone the church that has not found the Acts 2 experience. Because the Acts 2 experience is the basic formula for salvation. And it teaches us baptism in the name of the Lord. It teaches us the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. But it also teaches us other very beautiful things about working together, sharing together, and doing the things that God asks the church to do. But what is so important about this is the fact that God didn't take the intellectuals of our earth to send forth with the gospel. He walked by a fishing group one day, and I have often wondered, what was there in those words that he spoke to those people, those men that was so magnetic? For all he said when he was watching them fishing was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says straightway that they left their nets and followed him. What kind of magnetism, what kind of drawing power was there to take men who were fishers of fish from their occupation and follow this lowly Nazarene? It's amazing. And yet, that's just what they did. He took those men who were not in the upper strata of so-called society, but they were the common men, the poor people, the people that did not have this world's goods like others had. But he took those same men and he endued them with the power from on high and gave them keys to the kingdom of God. And they opened the door into God's great kingdom. When the man at the gate beautiful was healed and they were called before the majesty of religion in Jerusalem to explain what had happened, they said it was nothing that was in our hands. But they said it was through his name that this man stands here whole. And they were letting those men of religious fame know that there was something greater than just the tradition of religion. But there was a supernatural act of God working amongst men. And they tried to understand these fishermen standing there, because it does say in the Acts of the Apostles, they saw that they were ignorant fishermen. But after they had thought about why they had such power and such ability to walk by a man and their shadow cast upon him and he was suddenly healed of a lameness from his birth, they came to the conclusion they had been with Jesus. Now, in some of this, it is so amazing for us to understand, until we begin to read into the scriptures some of the great things that are spoken to us through the Word of God. I want you to know something about the Pentecostal movement. I know you know it, but every once in a while, we need to refresh our minds about this very area of thought. Because every once in a while, we get the strange idea that we are the ones that brought this church into existence. And it is not so. It was through the power of the living God that this church was brought into existence. And we need to give honor to God for what he has done. Do you realize that none of us would have not known each other had it not been for Jesus? Now you look around you tonight in this building and see what kind of folks are sitting here. Don't you ask about their pedigree. There's some of us who don't want to tell you about it. Don't ask them about what kind of a bloodline they come from, because the bloodline we boast about is the one that flowed from Calvary. And when it comes to understanding just exactly who we are, I think Paul described it. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight. And that is exactly what we were. Nothings. Nobodies. We were lost. We were floundering. We had no direction. We didn't know where we were going. We were living in life and living as best as we knew how until we found Him, until He walked by us or somebody preached the gospel to us. Now we live in a dimension of the power of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing like it, friend. There's no bar that can give you the joy that you'll feel in this place. There's no drug addiction that can take you on a trip like the Holy Ghost can take you on a trip. There is no peace that you can find in any kind of an experience in this world, the synthetic world we live in, but you will find it in the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So that when we stand here tonight, we're not talking about a penny picnic gospel. We're talking about the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. We're talking about the power of God that moves through cultures and breaks down the middle wall of partition. We're talking about a gospel that takes a man that's broken by sin and transforms him through the grace of God and lifts him out of the slime of the sins of our day and brings him up into the highway of holiness. We're not talking about a gospel that cannot penetrate the darkest continent of this earth. We're talking about a gospel that can save to the uttermost. Oh, friend, there's something in this gospel. And when I read these verses to you tonight, in recent months, it has just absolutely got hold of me. I keep thinking about it. It gets bigger on my hands. He led captivity captive. That just gets hold of me. He took captivity into captivity. Praise God. And you're saying, what are you saying, Brother Urshan? He took every dirty, vile bondage that will break men to pieces, and He took it captive. He took every kind of covetous affection which gives men this greed. He has taken every evil thought, every perverted instinct, every destructive terror, and He has taken it and led it into captivity. All sin has been captured by the Christ of Calvary. Hallelujah. It's been captured. And there's no way that you can come to Him and find Him in the power of the Holy Ghost that you cannot be released from any kind of a habit, from any kind of a bondage, from any kind of a fetter, from any kind of a stronghold. Because when He went up into heaven, it said, He that ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth. And He visited hell and Satan. And He said it Himself, I am He which was, which is, and which is to come. And I have the keys of hell and death in my hand. Oh, we need to understand this gospel. I read these scriptures now and then, and I think, man, we haven't touched the core of this. We've just sort of nibbled around on the edges of it. We've sat in our contemplative inability and thought, oh my God, there's nothing we can do. And we've got hold of the greatest power that ever existed. We've got hold of a power that's greater than anything nuclear power has ever thought of. We've gotten a hold of a power that man cannot contrive. We've gotten a hold of a power that broke the bands of death. I know they put a stone there, and I know they put the Roman seal there, but I want you to know what the Scripture says about it. And spoiling principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All hell knows they've been defeated. All the imps and demons of hell know they have no power over the Holy Ghost sanctified saint. If that Holy Ghost saint will walk with God. Let me tell you this. It's not boasting. It's just something that happened. It was through the hand of God. We had the opportunity of visiting with Vice President Bush. And that day we were told as we walked in, 10 minutes is all you have. There are other people out here waiting. And one of them that was waiting was Buddy Ibsen, whoever that is. I understand he's a character actor from Hollywood. But anyhow, there were strings of people waiting to talk to the Vice President. There were three of we preachers that went in, sat down with the Vice President. And we got to talking. And he said, you know, I'm amazed at you people. I've met some of you. What is this Holy Ghost I hear you talk about? Oh, man. Well, we got into it. Now, he made this statement. He said, I've heard about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm an Episcopalian and not a good one. But he said, I hear some of you say, that you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, I'd never heard of that before. You mean the Holy Ghost can baptize you? I said, yes, sir. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Not only baptize you outside, but baptize you inside. He was just absolutely awed by it. And he said, tell me how it happens. We went through the whole thing. And we said, Mr. Vice President, if you bow your knee before God, ask Him to come in your heart with His Holy Spirit, He would ignite you with a power you have never known in your life. But that time his man came in and said, you've been here long enough, gentlemen. There are others waiting. The Vice President said, stop, please. I want to hear these men talk about this. Send him out. We stayed with him 40 minutes while they all stood in the outside. And what was so beautiful about it, after we had been with him for this time, it was soon after that that my daughter passed away. And we had talked all about the Holy Ghost to him. I got a letter from him personally. And when somebody saw just the fact that I got a letter from the Vice President, they said, somebody else wrote a form letter. I said, no. He was the only man in that room with us preachers. And he said in his letter, you told me that when death came to your home or when heaviness of spirit came to your life, that the Holy Ghost was a comforter. You remember what you told me? And I'm asking God to send you the comforter. And signed his name to it. I said, that was no form letter. Because he was the only one in that room that heard us talk like that, except we preachers. But what I'm saying to you tonight, our world in high places, in low places, do not know what this power of God can do for mankind. And we have sat a long time and been afraid to talk to others about it. Talk about it! Witness about it! This is a dying generation. They don't need to shake the hand of the preacher. They need God's hand placed on their life. They don't need a pseudo-gospel. They need the power of the gospel. They don't need a halfway gospel. They need the whole deal. And he died and set captivity, put captivity in prison, and gave gifts unto men. Oh, praise God. Friend, I feel something in this service tonight. And I want you to know, I don't know when I'm going to quit now. God bless you clock-watching Americans. Put it away. Praise God. I wish you could, I'd take you to Russia and let you hear, watch those Russians worship God for 10 hours and never stop. They won't even go eat. They don't get the opportunity you have to be in the house of God. When they get the chance, friend, they won't leave the place. But I want you to know, one day, he walked by the pool of Bethesda. And when he walked by that pool, this poor man that had been there for 38 years, Jesus said to him, what is it that you need? He said, I need to get in that pool. But before I get there, others get there ahead of me. And so some kind of shrine had been set up where each year when the water was troubled, somebody was cast into the pool and was healed. And this man, 38 years had waited for the chance to get in that pool. But who was talking to him, he did not realize. And when he got through talking to me, he said, be thou made whole. And that man got up and walked away from that pool because the one that was talking to him was the one who is going to capture captivity. And all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And he has this beautiful ability to take a church and fill it with the glory of God. When you come into this place, you shouldn't come in here without expecting God to do something great. You shouldn't walk in this church just haphazard. Those 6 o'clock prayer meetings, Brother Clinton, are doing something for our people. They are coming to church at 6 a.m. all over this nation, and churches are beginning to flourish like they have never flourished before. I'm not talking about some charismatic idea. I'm talking about good old-fashioned intercessory prayer, calling on the name of the Lord, reaching out to Him by faith, praying His power into the church. And wherever these churches are fulfilling this, they are seeing great, great things come to pass. I was with Sister Marilyn Kozowski, who has now turned the church to her boy, Richard. She wouldn't turn it to him until he was 30. And I was with her in the church. I used to see Sister Marilyn, whom I knew when she was just a young lady, unmarried, leading the choir in Royal Oak, Michigan. I saw her, I'd see her at conference. She'd say, "When you coming to preach for me?" I'd say, "I'm coming, Sister Marilyn." She'd say, "Oh, you don't know what the Lord's doing for us." And just like many of we Pharisaical thinkers, she'd tell me what God was doing. I'd say, And she'd say the next time, "You have no idea what God is doing for us." I'd say, You know, we have a little cliche about evangelistic reports. And I would say to her, "Really, is the Lord God doing all that?" And she got upset at me. She said, "You're coming, and I want you to see what God's doing." So we went out there. And friend, every morning at 6 o'clock, she said, there is no less than 150 people. And I had a hard time believing that. Pharisaical. I sent Sister Urshan to count them. She came back and said, there was 172 people in that prayer meeting calling on God. Said there was a power in that room that was unbelievable. You could feel it. And I was preaching for her, sitting on a platform. Said, "See that woman over there?" I said, "Yes, we talked to her at dinner time." She was a lady sitting across the table from us in your room that you had set up for dinner. Said, "Do you know what she was before she came here?" I said, "I have no idea. She is a fine lady. She had 3 children with her. Lovely lady. So polite. So nice." She said, "She was a prostitute. The head prostitute at a house just 2 blocks from here." And said, "We put her house on our prayer list and said, Lord, close it up." And said, "We prayed definitely God would close that thing. And He closed it when she came to the church. And was beautifully, wonderfully saved by the power of God." And there's a man standing out in the audience. You see that man standing down there? So take a look at him. Said he is the most tattooed man in the world. And he was using his tattoo parlor for a drug-related situation where drugs were being passed out. Some of the youth that were members of the family of the church. The youth weren't in the church. Their families were in the church. They were trying to get them to come to God. Some of them had gone to that tattoo man, and he had tattooed pornographic portions on their bodies. And once you get it on, it don't come off. And she said, "We began to pray, Lord, close up that place." And she said, "There he stands, clothed and in his right mind. Praise God." Oh, I want you to know, you think that the power of prayer isn't real? When you pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to saturate and bring down and bring to pass, He can do it. We can pray the powers of demons out of cities. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on, Pentecostals. We can pray these powers away. We can pray them away from our families. One of the reasons why it don't happen is because we do not do enough of it. There isn't enough weeping and travail going on before God. that weeping and travail begins, I want you to know it breaks into the powers of hell. And it tears down the domain of Satan. And it sets people free by the power of the name of the Lord. It is the greatest power working in this earth. There is nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like the power of the gospel. It's greater than anything man has at his disposal. Before we got through that meeting, Brother Willen, she told us the man that led all their music. He was a rock band leader. He could play every instrument on that platform. He'd go from the piano to the organ. Everything he did was expert. I thought he was putting on a display. You know, and when you see some of this, you think, well, the man just wants to let us know what he can play. But the man was as sincere as he could be. And I was certain of his sincerity. When an old man came to the altar that night, Steve was the first one down by his side. And he knelt by that man and prayed with him 1 hour until that old man got the Holy Ghost. And when they walked up the aisle and out of the church that night, I could still see them. Hands raised, singing, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." They were praising God. He had been delivered from the rock band. But what had happened was, his wife first came to God, then his saxophonist came to God, then his bass guitar player came to God, and the leader came to find out what was happening to his folks. And he came to God. And they got the whole band. But it was in that discotheque where they were also selling drugs. And they prayed it closed. They had prayed 7 places of ill fame closed in those prayer meetings. They'd write them on the board, and as soon as they'd close, they'd cross them out and go to the next one. Oh, praise God. I tell you what, there's a lot of sin in Oklahoma City. There's a lot of transgressions going on right now in our city. The church needs to be asking God, break up all this mess. Tear down the walls of Satan. Break down the powers of hell. Let us deliver men from the power of sin that has grasped their soul. I look at our young folks sitting out there, and Pentecostal young people are the finest people I know. They are wonderful, sweet people. They may have their little traits, and I've raised a few of them, Sister Marilyn. They've had their traits, and I want you to know they have their little ways. I've had some children that grew up, and a friend, they'd ask me, do they have the Holy Ghost? You know, kids act so strange sometimes. And I've answered them, said, yeah, they got the Holy Ghost. Well, why don't they act like it? I said, the Holy Ghost hasn't got them yet. And that's the truth of Almighty God. The Holy Ghost does come in by the tender grass, but the Holy Ghost needs to get hold of us. And we need to be led by it and strengthened by it and be led of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we really need. And our young people fight such a peer pressure battle. That peer pressure out there to break your virtue is as wild as it can be. Premarital sex doesn't mean anything. That's a lie from hell. They'll tell you, take a little smoke of marijuana. It won't harm you. It'll destroy you. Take a little sniff of cocaine. It won't harm you. It'll destroy you. It'll get into your system. It'll break you down. I read a testimony from Lonnie Smith, who used to be left fielder of the St. Louis Cardinals. I put it on the front page of the St. Louis paper, the Dispatch. And he said, I went to hospitals to get this dope habit out of my life. I have not gone back to it for 4 years. But he said, there isn't a day that I don't crave it. And he said, I crave it. Everything in me wants to go back into this so-called utopian dream where you get lost out of reality. But when you come back to it, you have been floored by some of Satan's concoction to destroy. And I was telling that to our global conquest people there at St. Louis. And there was a little fella standing in the front, a little black brother. And when I finished, he said, where does Lonnie Smith live? I said, he lives in Kansas City. Can you get his address for me? I said, yes. I said, why do you want his address? He said, I want to tell him that there is a spirit that takes the craving out of you. Because he said, I was a druggie. I sold it. I smoked it. I sniffed it. I shot it in my veins. But when Jesus came in, he took it all out of my life. I want to go to Lonnie Smith and tell him about it. And I got a phone call from him after he'd been there. He said, we've been praying. He said, keep praying, Brother Urshan. I'm going to bring this man through to the Holy Ghost by the help of God. And he said, he's receiving what I'm saying. They're out there, folks. They're out there. They're floundering. They don't know where to go. Sat next to a psychiatrist one night. Brother Whalen never thought I'd hear from a psychiatrist. Didn't realize who he was till after service was over. We were in a service where the people that had been delivered from drugs, after they had been delivered from drugs, they were testifying how God wonderfully saved them. And when I was listening to them, I was thrilled by the fact many of them had been buried in the name of the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was saying amen, and I was conscious of the psychiatrist next to me, wondering how he was taking it all. He wasn't saying much, but he was a very avid listener. And after a little bit, I turned to him and I said, isn't it wonderful what the Lord's done for these people? He said, it is absolutely wonderful. And then he said this to me. He said, you know, Brother Urshan, we give people that have the deep drug habits, lesser drugs, to pull them out of their troubles. And we lessen it and lessen it. But said, we don't get what we want to get done in their lives. Because after they leave us, so many go back to the habit. Said, while they're under our supervision, we control it by coercion. Just by keeping it from them. And little by little, we try to take it from them. But he said, there's only one thing that can take it out of their system completely, forever, and that's the Holy Ghost. Well, that psychiatrist said that to me. I said, you don't say so. He said, yes, sir. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've been buried in the name of the Lord. He said, I know what God can do for you. And he said, I help people in hospitals, and I try my best to do for them. But he said, I tell you what works the most when I kneel with them by their bedside. And I lay hands on them in the name of the Lord. And God begins to do a work in my heart. I said, is he helping you? Oh, friend, he said, I'm getting a reputation as the best psychiatrist in town. He said, they're sending me people from all over the nation and saying, send them to Brown. He'll take care of them. And they've asked him what the secret is. He said, prayer in Jesus' name. I love it. I love it. And whether you know it or not, this is beginning to seep through to a lot of people. And they're recognizing they're up against a bigger force than they've ever been up against. Our nation's beginning to realize that it's a devastating force of drugs that has hit this nation. And I'll tell you what, we're right at a point of great and powerful revival. Because when this old world sinks into that mire of despond, they're going to be saying, somebody help us! And we're going to be able to walk in and say, he took captivity captive! He has defeated Satan! Satan is a defeated foe. He cannot destroy you as long as you plead the blood of Jesus Christ and call on his name. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Now, I get excited about it. Why don't you get excited? I get excited about what the Lord can do. We're seeing it happen. And we're seeing people that have thrust themselves into the hands of God come away with an answer to the heaviness of their souls. This happened years ago, something that you don't forget in a lifetime. One night, two young men sat on the front row of Calvary, and one was a big, strong-looking man, blonde-headed. The other was a swarthy little man. Later found out he was a Hawaiian, and they were sitting together. And this man kept looking at me with his eyes. Never took his eyes off me. And one of our elders turned around and he said, you know the man in the front row? I think he's trying to hypnotize you. And I said, yeah, I've noticed. He hasn't taken his eyes off me since he came into church. Well, I found out later that the boys at the University of Indiana that had come from the church had told him he was a Satanist and an ESP specialist, extrasensory perception. And that is of Satan. It's witchcraft. They say, and they get these folks on the radio and say, I lost my diamond ring. Do you think you can tell me where I can find it? And they'll say, go look in your closet under your old shoes. You know, like they know where that diamond ring is. We never know whether they found it or not. But they call these people with this extrasensory perception to give them answers to things they've lost, things they need. God help. I hope Nancy isn't trying the astrologers. God help us. I know that distresses me if it's true. I think it's a lot of political work, but that distresses me. Because the kind of a world we live in tonight, they don't need that astrology. That's Babylonian. That is Babylonian. There's no truth in that. The only truth about it is the fact that if you were born in August, you're a bull. Praise God. I want you to know that that is completely out of character with a Christian. A Christian doesn't need that kind of junk. Really. You know, I have folks say, what's your sign? I said, speaking with other tongues. Praise God. So boys sitting there looking, you know, and the boys had said to him, you come to our church and we'll get that devil out of you. He said, I'll come to your church and confuse your preacher's mind. He said, I can make him get all confused and mixed up. Were you there, Marilyn, when this Cliff Readout came to God? He was sitting on that front row. I never did it before. I went down and used him as my pulpit. I would slap him on the shoulder. And my message that night, I didn't know what he was coming for. The fellows never told me anything. They said, you can't confuse his mind. They didn't know tell me he was coming. I didn't know what he was there for. I would say to him, Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. You believe that, man? He'd look at me. I'd slap him on the back. I said, whether you believe it or not, he's dead. I said, he that is in us with the power of the Holy Ghost is greater than he that's in the world. He can cast down every stronghold of Satan. He can break up his parties. He can break up demoniac power. Told him about the time that he went into Gadara and he made that demoniac that had been cast outside of the city in chains, in caves, away from the people, frightened to death because of him. When he saw Jesus, he was like a lamb. Because the King of Kings has power over all that stuff. Talked about that, and that he stood and stilled the storm. And they had to say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will? You believe in that kind of gospel? If you don't believe in that kind of gospel, I'm ashamed of you. And I want you to know, I did that for about 15 minutes. I'd slap him on the back and say, Satan is defeated. One time hit him on the top of the head and said, he's going to win any victories here. When I said that, he jumped to his feet, threw his hands up and said, I give up. In 10 minutes, he had the Holy Ghost. When he threw his hands up in the air, he went speaking in tongues. He went to praising God. Those boys from the university come running down there. Man, they got hold of him. They went to praying for him. They were smiling at me. He said, you have no idea what he was doing here. You don't know what he came for. And God has given us a great victory this night. And Cliff Readout, pastoring now in Enfield, Connecticut, will tell you he came to try to tear up the thinking process of the mind. And you know what he said? When I looked up there and tried to penetrate, there was a wall around you. Couldn't get through that wall. And I remembered what Satan said to the Lord about Job. You got a hedge about him. Take the hedge away. And the Lord took the hedge away and gave him a little shot at Job. But I want you to know, though he got Job down into the deep distress of morass and sorrow and heaviness, that he came up and his end was greater than his beginning. But I want you to know something. If you want to hear a one God preacher, you want to hear Cliff Rita. You heard him, haven't you? Friend, he can pour it out. He can quote it. It's in his system. He can glorify Jesus like you've never heard. And he was delivered by that great power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, I get happy about it. I want you to know that when he went to the grave of Lazarus, when he went to the grave of Lazarus, and he walked in after 4 days of Lazarus' death, I think he waited purposely. 4 days is corruption. He walked in, and Martha said, "If you had been here, my brother had not died." She made him the gospel yesterday. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." She said, just like we said, "Yes, I know there'll be a resurrection in the last days." The Bible said Jesus wept. Someone said he wept because his friend Lazarus died. He wept at the unbelief. And he said, "Roll away the stone." There's nobody in this church telling me tonight that he couldn't have rolled away that stone. But the church needs to do something. And so they rolled away the stone. And when they rolled away that stone, he cried out, "Lazarus!" Friend, that woke up five of you on the back row. Praise God. He hollered, "Lazarus." If he hadn't said Lazarus, there'd been a wholesale resurrection. Friend, they'd have come up all over the place. And when he came up bound with grave clothes. And he said, "Loose him and let him go." I actually believe he could have loosed those grave clothes. But he wanted us to loose something. You know what I'm saying? There are grave clothes in the church tonight. And we need to loose some people from it. Friends, I'm going to say something here. You might not like me after this. I'm going to say it anyhow. There are folks that sit in our churches that have allowed themselves to be defeated by personal sins, by agitations in their homes, by lack of responsibility and commitment to God, and they have become players of religion. When somebody preaches like this, they can't even bring themselves to a point of faith. They are so bound by allowing themselves to be set back into a niche where Satan has controlled their thinking and their worship. It's hard for you to praise God. Honest, tonight we should be praising God with high praises. We ought to be thanking God for His deliverance that He has wrought in our hearts. Hallelujah! We should be saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our preachers have to preach against fads and fancies of the day because we're so taken up with the carnality. We've fallen in love with our carnality. We're at ease in Zion. We're too comfortable in the church. We need to be shouting the praises of God. You need to walk in here worshiping God, praising God, getting everything out of your mind. Come alone with Him for a while. An old song we used to sing, Brother Whalen, you've heard it, so beautiful. Alone with God, the world forsaken. Alone with God, oh blessed retreat. Alone with God, and in Him hidden, to hold with Him communion sweet. Church started at 7:30. I stepped inside the church at 7:10, and the doors to the sanctuary were closed. I could see through the windows people prostrate before God praying. I went to enter the door, and the usher said, "No, sir, you cannot go in there. You're late." I said, "Well, I thought service was 7:30. He said, "That's right. The main service starts. But prayer started at 6:30. And nobody enters after 6:30. We close the doors to the people who come to pray. Nobody can go in there and talk." I said, "Thank you." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "A visitor." The man was doing his job. He was doing his job. I didn't want to embarrass him at all. A little bit, the pastor came out of the office and said, "Brother Urshan,
I said, oh, no. I said
to the pastor, you got a good man here. He's doing what you asked him to do. He said he wouldn't let you in the auditorium, would he? I said, no, sir. Well, I said, that's what I told him. Don't let anybody that comes late for the prayer meeting go in and spoil those that are really seeking God. I'll tell you something. When we hit that platform that night, all heaven broke loose. We usually say the other. But all heaven broke loose. That place was saturated. That prayer had filled that church. And people were coming down and they're being prayed for and going away shouting, victory in healing. I said, how long has this been going on? He said, 4 months. We have seen the most beautiful things take place. God is moving in our church like He never moved before. All because of earnest prayer. Let me close with this. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to close soon. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Jesus in Gethsemane. That was no little prayer meeting, friend. That was the human Christ crying from His innermost, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. 3 times. What a travail. Came back. He said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Then the third time he said, sleep on. He had won the victory over the will that was part of his humanity. And the scripture said that when he prayed, he agonized and drops of blood came from his pores. Someone said, medically, is that possible? Ask a doctor. He will tell you that under intense pressure, under the power of forces that battle against you, that you will sometimes sweat blood through your pores. Jesus was fighting all of hell. He was fighting the flesh that he had taken upon himself to come nigh to us. I get blessed when I think about it. The eternal God put upon himself flesh of man, came as our servant, walked amongst us, the eternal one, subjected himself to the creature he made. Oh, the wondrous things of Calvary. Oh, the wondrous things of the resurrection. And we are recipients of that divine inheritance. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And friend, he went to Calvary. Calvary was incidental to Gethsemane, because at Gethsemane, he won the battle. And when he stood in Pilate's tribunal hall, Brother Whalen, he hardly uttered a word. The only time he ever answered back was when Pilate said, don't you know I have power to release you? He said, you have no power unless my heavenly Father gave it unto you. For this purpose was I born. For this reason came I into this world. Book of Ephesians says it in this fashion. Said, at his death, he destroyed enmity in his body. He took enmity and destroyed it in his body. He brought us nigh to him, those of us that were afar off. No Gentile can say tonight, I found the Lord. You didn't find Him. He found you. Because He came to where you were. And He still comes to where you are. Hear me! There is no power that can destroy you if you lean on His power. When you walk away from Him, you walk away out of rebellion. You walk away out of your own philosophical reasoning. You walk from Him because you want to fulfill lusts of the flesh. But if you thrust yourself on Him, He is able to succor them that come to him believing. There is no temptation that is common to man, but he knows about it. He went through it and was without sin. And he has let us know that he can do the same for us. He took captivity captive. Oh, I wish I had more time to preach. I tell you what gifts he gave. He put gifts in the church. Powerful gifts. So that you and I can exercise them for the edification of the body. The building up of the church. Gift of wisdom. A word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits. Gift of faith. The working of miracles. Gifts of healing. Tongues. The gift of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. All of it. What is it all there for? For the edification. For the comfort. For the blessing of the church. You are not in another church. You're in a Holy Ghost church. Hallelujah! You're in a Holy Ghost church where the power of the Holy Ghost works in the lives of you. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! There is power. Power, there's wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I know there's power, there's power, there's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, there's power, there's wonder working power in the precious blood. There's power, 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 wonder, wonder, power, in the blood.